Everything in lives are healed and whole. hope is found. It's here, it's right now. 'Cause Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall, fear bow. Here, now, Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope found. Here, now, Jesus, you change everything. Healing's in you, Jesus. You're changing us, Lord. You're changing us, God. So we sing, show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory, show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Show us your glory, show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Consecrated crown, Jesus. And chains fall, fear bow here now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives heal. Chains fall, fear bow here now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives heal, hope is being found. It's here, it's right now. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus reigns, yes. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Sing, Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns in this place. showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Praise the Lord. Such a powerful, sweet Spirit of the Holy Ghost in this place. Let's just worship Him one more time. Lord, we thank You for what we feel here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for each other. I thank You for my brothers and my sisters. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You could be seated tonight, church. It is just so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. My wife and I took a little mini vacation over the weekend and just kind of made a little trip out of town and just had a good, relaxing time. And I want to thank all of our awesome staff for taking care of things while we were gone. And Sunday morning, we have some awesome guest speakers. They're really not guest speakers, but I look at them as Brother and Sister Vernon, Brother Ben and Sister Vicky will be speaking on Sunday morning, so we're excited about that. So you want to make sure you're here. And I want to speak tonight just for a short time. This is just a standalone message. It's not a series. The beginning of a series. But before we start tonight, I just wish to explain a few things about myself. Now, some of you have known me most of my life. We have some folks here that I think since I was in fifth grade that you've known me. And you know probably as much about me as I know about myself. I've never been a real negative nanny or a gloom and doom type of a person. I don't really preach gloom and doom type of messages. I hope they don't come across this way. And if you want someone to tell you tonight that the world is on its way to hell in a handbasket, that's probably not going to be me. I have a lot of faith in humanity. I have a lot of faith in my brothers and my sisters. I have a lot of faith in the church. If you're looking for someone who's going to try to connect all the dots going all the way from Daniel to Revelation and explain to you what all of the prophetic meanings of the horses, the candlesticks, the Temple Mount, and all of this to prove to you that we are in the last of days, you're probably looking at the wrong person. Personally, I have to honestly admit I have not really spent much time over the last 5 years as your pastor, over the last 15 plus years as working at Calvary Gospel Church as an employee on their ministry team, fretting about who is going to be the Antichrist. I'm really not concerned about who the Antichrist is. I don't care if he comes from Totten Creek, Wisconsin, or if he comes from some remote village over in the Middle East and has been catered and been trained and taught by all of the people that need to teach and train him on how to be an Antichrist. I don't really care about all of that. I haven't spent a whole lot of time, Elder Caskey, actually fretting over coronavirus. I'm not really concerned about it as much as a lot of people are. And I have to say the reason I'm not so concerned about it is because I believe in the power of the Word of God. I believe in the power and the authority of this book right here. I believe everything it teaches. I believe everything that it talks about, as Bishop has told us, from Genesis to maps. I believe every word of Psalms chapter 190 or chapter 91, which I have encouraged all of you fathers to read to your families. I understand tonight that we do not live in a perfect country. As we look at everything that's going on around us, we live in a far from a perfect world. But I have to say, I myself am not perfect. Are we perfect as a people? Are we perfect as a church? No, we're not perfect as a people. That's why we cannot be perfect as a church. And are there injustices that need to be corrected? I would have to say yes, of course. Absolutely. So here we are in the midst of all of this turmoil, all of this controversy, and all of this hatred that's being spewed out among us as a nation and as a world. But yet, in the middle of all of that, we have an incredible promises that we can count on from Almighty God. If you don't get anything else from this message tonight, you need to settle it in your mind. You need to settle it in your spirit, and you need to get your emotions under control, that at no point ever has God began to start wringing his hands in heaven and saying, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen. So when we look at all of this, how can we live in today's world? And how can we take fear that is all around us? And sometimes, yes, it does consume us. And how do we take that fear and convert it into faith? So tonight, I'd like to just talk about a few points on how to overcome fear in uncertain times. First of all, I want to say, church, the world has been here before. When Solomon penned those words in his book, there's no new thing under the sun. Listen, diseases have come and gone, governments have come and gone, nations have come and gone, empires have come and gone. But the church, God has always, 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 always had a people. Always had a people. So when I look at all of these things, how do I overcome fear? Perhaps maybe as the head of your household, as the husband, maybe you're single. I don't know everybody's cases here tonight, but you may be asking yourself, Pastor, how do I overcome some of these fears that I have? Well, I'm going to start off with something that's very, very simple, and that is turn off the negativity of the news, okay? So if you're writing this down, turn off the news and tune into the Word of God. The negativity of the news will not put hope in your heart. If you are struggling with fear and you feel like you are hopeless, you've got to get rid of that negativity that's being constantly bombarded into your mind. You see, we have a choice. We will either believe the report of the world or we will believe the report of the Lord. Now, some of you have been around long enough to remember this, but you remember that song, "We Used to Believe, Whose Report Will You Believe?" We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report? Then it goes on to say, his report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Now if I'm healed, if I'm filled, if I'm free and have the victory, why should I worry about the fear of the unknown? All of these promises, church, are backed up in the Word of God. His report says, I'm protected. You may not feel protected tonight, perhaps, but at the beginning of this pandemic, this whole mess, I strongly encouraged every family, every father to read every day Psalms chapter 91, and there's a reason why this is called the Hedge of Protection chapter. God placed that in there for times like this. I love Psalm 91, 14 through 16, and the message reads this way. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. Don't you love this? And God says, I'll throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. His report says, I am protected. His report says that he hears and he answers my prayers. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14 in the Amplified reads this way, when you call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will hear you and heed you, then you will I seek me, inquire and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity. His report says he will answer my prayer. His report says he gives me peace. I love this in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's sometimes hard, isn't it? It's sometimes not to allow our hearts to be troubled. But Jesus is saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. I love how the Amplified puts this. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly unsettled. Remember, this is a choice that we make. We have a choice. His report says he will give me peace, and I have a choice to accept that peace. His report says he gives me hope when everything seems hopeless. We've read a lot. This passage has come up a lot over the past few months. Jeremiah 19:11 in the NLT says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope or a future and a hope. Now, if we read this in the message, it says, I know what I am doing. Now, I stopped right there in my notes, and I sub-added a little bit here. Because when God looks at us sometimes, church, and says, stop worrying about all of this, I know what I'm doing, our response is, ha, really, God? Seriously? Are you sure? Because I'm just not seeing it here. Have you ever had that conversation with God? You see, God desires for us to completely trust in him. He says, I know what I am doing. This isn't my first rodeo, is what God's trying to tell us. He says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, plans to take care of your family. I will take care of your boss that you don't particularly care for, just so you will make it through this next phase of trouble. God says, I got this all taken care of. My plans to take care of you, not abandon you. I'm not a God of abandonment. plans to give you the future and hope. You see, it's very important, church, whose report we believe, who we listen to as we move forward in this crisis. Now, this past few weeks have been a little bit of a difficult time for myself. I know some of you might be asking, and I'm going to share a few things with you here tonight. My blood pressure has been just all of a sudden, it just decided that it liked triple digits. And normally your blood pressure should be about 120 over 80, give or take a little bit. And mine was up in the 170s plus, and it was in the 115s and such on the lower number. And I don't know exactly what's causing all this. They've got me on different medications. We thought we had all of this worked out, and I don't know how much stress adds to life and all of this and that. I went in because they've discovered that a very similar situation that Brother Ward Meyer had with the aorta valve on my heart has leaking, and originally it wasn't that big of a concern, and now all of a sudden it's a real big concern, and my aorta has swollen, and it keeps enlarging, and of course I've shared some of this with you before, and now with the high elevated blood pressures, they're like, you know, we got some problems here, and you know, I'm thinking, Lord, what is happening in my life right now? Last year, it was a few weeks from now, in a leadership meeting, I had a couple mini strokes, and I thought that was all behind me, and the doctor says, no, you've got a spot about the size of your thumbnail in your central lobe of your brain that we're concerned about. Don't really know exactly what it is, but we want to keep taking scans and all of this kind of stuff, and in the process of all that, they've got the heart issue, and all of this, and I've been a little frustrated. I've been a little bit to say, God, are you sure you got this all figured out? Because I'm not seeing it from where I'm at right now. And I'm not telling you this so you can feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you this because this is life. I'm living this right now, and I'm going to believe the report of my Lord. Okay? I mean, so when I think about all of this and I begin to think about church and about revival and about where God is taking us, and first thing that your mind says and your body says is, okay, we're going to have to start shutting some things down here, and we're going to have to start making some adjustments and all this and that. And I just want to really stress the importance of godly mentors in your life. Okay, if you don't have godly mentors in your life, you're missing out on one of life's greatest blessings. And one of my godly mentors called me up this morning and said, I've been praying for you, and God gave me a word specifically for your situation. As he began to talk with me, he says, you know, this stroke that you had affects your mind. And I said, that's correct. He said, then the next issue that you had was you got a heart issue. I said, that's correct. And he said, you've shared with me recently that for the last 2 weeks, your ears have been seriously plugged, like right now when I'm talking to you, it is so loud inside my head because I don't know what's wrong. The doctors they told me there was no infection. They're not for sure what the problem is. And I've had swimmer's ear before, and it doesn't feel like that. And I don't know, but I'm just saying that right now it's really, really loud in here. I don't know how loud I am to you, but it's very loud right here. And it's annoying. And every time you walk, you can feel that vibration all the way up through into your head. And you scratch your head, and it feels like somebody's running sandpaper on the inside of your skull. I think if you've ever had a bad sinus infection, you might know what I'm talking about. He said, the last thing he says is, now your hearing is being affected. He
He said, I think there's a spiritual pattern here on how the enemy is trying to attack you as a person. He wants to attack your mind. He wants to get your mind off of God, off of revival, off of the things of God and onto other things. And he wants to attack your heart. He wants to, the things that happen to us, sometimes situations and stuff can affect us as issues and matters of the heart. Bitterness can begin in a person's heart. And then when the enemy attacks your ears or your ability to hear, it's very important that we hear what spiritual wisdom and what our pastors and what our mentors are trying to say to us. And the enemy is trying to take all those three areas of my life and wreak havoc in them. Now, I'm not trying to, as I said, I'm not here so you can say, oh, poor Pastor Roy right now, okay? There is a testimony behind all of this. And I've said this to you many, many times over the last few weeks and the last month. If you're going to have a testimony, you're going to have a test. And I don't know where all this is leading to, but I do understand one thing, that God has all of this. And God has known all of this before I've known all of this. And God will get me through this. God will get you through whatever situation you're going through. There is an end to this season of our lives. You see, I have to understand something. In order to eliminate fear from my life, and trust me, I've had to struggle with this. I'm having to live this out, church. I'm having to deal with this, but my Bible tells me that perfect love, and the only perfect love I will ever get is from God himself. And God is telling me perfect love, my perfect love will cast out all fear. Fear of failure at times will hold us back and keep us from maximizing our God-promised potential for success. But understand something, church. Fear never comes from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us the spirit of timidness, of cowardness, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control? That just reeks of God. Look at the only thing, when we look at this verse, there's so much in this one little verse. First of all, it tells me that fear, it doesn't come from God. If you have fear in your life tonight and you're struggling with things that are causing you to have anxiety and fear, it's not coming from God. Second of all, God doesn't want you and I to be timid. He doesn't want you to be a coward. He doesn't want me to be a coward when it comes to expressing our godly opinions and what's right. We were having lunch today, and I had Brother Ricky Wells, and we were sitting with the owner, Dominic, of Black Bear, and we got into, he knows I'm a pastor, and he knows where I pastor, and we talk about church quite a bit when I'm in there, and he said, you know, two things you never talk about in a bar is politics and religion, and here we're talking about both of them. Don't worry, I wasn't sitting at the counter, okay? We were in the dining hall. So, but we were talking, and we got into politics, and we got into religion, and Brother Ricky was talking about some things, his opinions in politics and how it tied into religion, and I'm just thankful that I have a friend that's not afraid to just say what he feels in his heart and say what's right, because it didn't resonate real well with the owner. He didn't have the same opinion. I walked out of there and I'm like, yeah, that's what we believe. That's what we believe. And we believe that no matter where we are. I believe this no matter who I'm sitting down with. I believe this no matter what situation I'm in, what circumstance I'm in. I believe what I believe.
Because it's right. Third, God gives you a spirit of power. It's what this it says. He has given us the spirit of power and of love. God wants us not only to have power and the strength to overcome anything and everything that is faced before us, but God wants us to act out of love. So many times when we have conversations with people, we don't always act out of love. We act out of belligerence. We can be very belligerent with our gospel. God wants us to act out of love. And God, when he talks about well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control, God doesn't want a church of loose cannons. There's nothing worse than a loose cannoned Christian. And God wants us living a life that's disciplined, not by the principles of the world, but disciplined by principles found in the Word of God. So that means that we have to exercise self-control over the temptations that the enemy sends to us on sometimes a daily basis. So as you can see, there's much more to that verse than just overcoming and taking dominion of the spirit of fear. One more point I want to make here, and I'm going to meddle a little bit, perhaps. Some of you may get uncomfortable here, but when times are uncertain, one thing I found out that a lot of people, when they're unhappy or they're fearful or they're afraid, they go on spending binges. Anybody ever do that? You don't have to publicly admit that. I have. Okay? How many of you in this COVID virus, in this lockdown, have done major projects at your home, spending binges? I would be one of those. I'm not afraid. I know Brother Josh Stone has, because he just showed some pictures of his new shower. So we all go on sometimes spending binges. Now, this isn't to Brother Josh. Okay? If you're in debt, this is all talking about fear here, okay? These are all things that add up in our lives. If you're in debt, I just want to encourage you to put the shovel down and stop digging the hole deeper. Okay? You can't get out of debt by special deals on MasterCards. Okay? That won't get you out of debt. If you're working to satisfy MasterCard's minimum payment, the money is not your own. And hear me now, neither is it available for God's kingdom, because you're not free to obey God's commands. Now, I heard this actually today at the lunch table, about the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poor. And that's how I'm going to vote when we go to the polls or go to the election and such. This was not me saying this, but the individual. Proverbs 22:7 has nailed it. And it says, the poor are ruled by the rich, and those who borrow are slaves of moneylenders. You wonder why the banks keep getting wealthier and wealthier? Because they're loaning out more and more money to people that can't always afford to pay it back. These are principles in God's Word. This is not Pastor Roy just getting up here talking about something that's uncomfortable. Two things in a marriage that people don't like to talk about. It's money is one of them. So when we look at this, the poor are ruled by the rich. And those who borrow are slaves to the moneylenders. See, the truth is, if you're in debt, if you're looking for God to use you in ministry, this is extremely important right here to understand this. If you're in debt, you can't go where God tells you to go and do what God tells you to do or become what God wants you to be if you're slaves to another master. I'm not saying you can't have a credit card. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a house mortgage. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a car payment. But my question to you is, with your finances, are you free to serve God as God desires you to serve Him? when you're working multiple jobs just to keep up with the expenses that you've accumulated, the collection agency is knocking at your door, you're probably not available for the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul tells young Timothy, says, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. What he's telling Timothy is listen, if you're going to get so caught up in the affairs of life, you will not be able to do the work of God that you've been called to do. The Hebrew word here, borrow, means to entangle, to intertwine. When we entangle ourselves with creditors to the point that we've lost our freedom to do what God has called us to do, we're not free. And we're certainly not following. Listen, there's so much stuff. Some of you have moved recently. I just talked with my brother John, who's moved recently, and began to share with me how many trips and boxes and all of this stuff. But we have so much stuff that we need to take care of. We have so much stuff that we need to pay for. So much stuff we have to insure. We have to organize. We have to fix it. We have to worry about it. We have to keep track of it. And if we've lost sight of what God saved us for, we have to be careful. You see, when it comes to obeying God's word, church, remember, financial tools and software is going to come and go. Investment brokers and counselors, they're going to win and they're going to lose. There are going to always be corporate mergers that are going to succeed and some are going to fail. Banks are going to be closed and new ones are going to be opened. The economy will have recessions, depressions, ups and downs, and life will sometimes get as rough and rocky as Commercial Avenue is right now on your way in here to church. But there's only one answer on planet Earth, and it's found in the Word of God, and His love for His children as His forgiveness for our sins will never, 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 ever, 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 ever change. You see, if we get serious with God, God will get serious with us. If we're going to joke around with God and we're going to play games with God, don't expect God to get involved in your life. I remember at a point in my life where I was playing games with God, but the problem was God was a whole lot more serious than I was, and I began to pay a very, very difficult price. So to get rid of fear, we have to build our faith, and we have to obey God's principles. And yes, God even has economic principles. God does not prosper you for the purpose. Listen, understand this. God does not prosper His church for the purpose of raising our standard of living. He prospers us to raise our standard of giving. And when I say giving, I'm not just talking about tithes and offerings. As you raise your level of giving, your standard of living, did you get that principle? This is really about the only, if you were to take God's principles of giving and wrap it up in a nutshell, it's this. God does not prosper you for the purpose of raising your standard of living. He prospers you so you can raise your standard of giving. And as you raise your level of giving, your standard of living will rise as a result. You see, following biblical principles are the hallmark of God's economic plan. Plans that will keep us safe, plans that will keep us secure, regardless of what's going on in the world around us. And as our musicians come tonight, and as last of all, we have to put our hope in the right source. There's a lot of things out there, church, that are vying right now for you to put your hope in. We have an election going on, and my word, between now and November 14th or 11th or 15th or whenever the election is, there's going to be billions upon billions upon billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars spent trying to get you to believe and who you need to put your hope in. It will probably be the most expensive election in the history of the world. But you know what? I don't put my hope in any of it. You see, we're always, the world has always lived in uncertain times. You go back to the history of the world, you could go back through empire after empire after empire that have come and gone. And people were putting their hope in uncertain things. But you see, here's a fact. Hope arises when we take a step of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says in the Living Bible, it says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Scripture says that Jesus became the Word and dwelt among us. In John 1:14, it's time for us to take steps of faith to gain our hope for miracle manifestation through the Word of God. If you want to stand tonight, church, Romans 4:17 in the Amplified says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, and whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. You see, our faith, our attitude, our hope, it should not be in non-existent things. Things that could never bring us hope. Our hope should always be in the Word of the Lord. As we read earlier, Jeremiah 29:11, this verse has come up so many times in my life over the last 3 months. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. So if you're struggling tonight and you're looking at life and things are so uncertain. You see, life is full of choices. It's full of choices. I can either become a worrier, somebody that's always worrying about life, or I can become a worshiper. And sometimes it's so very hard. I will tell you, church, it's sometimes so very hard to lift your hands and encourage yourself in the Lord as David encouraged himself in the Lord. But as you begin to break through that fear and you begin to break through that anxiety that is building up inside, perhaps your heart and your mind, get those ears cleared out so you can hear from God. You see, when it looks at a warrior or worshiper, one will shorten your life. I've read a lot about stress lately. I've read a lot about anxiety and all of the things that it can do and how that we thought cigarettes would shorten your life if you smoked one cigarette so many minutes. But boy, anxiety and worry can sure take a toll. The life of a person. You see, one will shorten your life, but the other will give you joy in this life. But not just joy in this life, it will give you joy in the life to come. Worship will open you up to His presence where He can direct your steps. So my question for you tonight to think about as you leave this place is, do I desire God to be the director of my life? And Sister Brittany begins to sing. I want you to just lift up your hands and begin to worship God. You're welcome to come down to this altar and pray.
When the night
storm we go through, God.